Ben-Hur stands as one of the most influential novels ever written, a tale that sold over 50 million copies and inspired multiple film adaptations, including the 1959 classic that won an unprecedented 11 Academy Awards. What began as author Lew Wallace's personal spiritual exploration evolved into an epic narrative, intertwining the fictional life of a Jewish prince with the historical figure of Jesus Christ. The novel's impact was so profound that President Garfield appointed Wallace as U.S. minister to the Ottoman Empire after reading it. For decades, it remained America's best-selling novel until Gone with the Wind appeared in 1936. Yet beyond these impressive statistics lies a story of betrayal, revenge, and ultimate redemption that continues to resonate with readers across generations. In Roman-occupied Jerusalem, wealthy Jewish prince Judah Ben-Hur reunites with his childhood friend Masala, but their joy quickly dissolves. Masala returns from Rome with imperial arrogance, speaking condescendingly of Jewish customs and viewing his friend's people as inferior subjects of Rome. Their friendship collapses when, during a new governor's procession, Ben-Hur accidentally dislodges a roof tile that strikes the official. Though clearly an accident, Masala uses this opportunity to demonstrate his Roman loyalty. He orders the arrest of the entire Hur household, betraying not just his friend, but sacred bonds of hospitality that once united their families. Without trial, Ben-Hur is sentenced to life as a galley slave, while his mother and sister vanish into Roman prisons and their property is confiscated. As he's marched in chains toward the coast, a pivotal moment occurs at a well in Nazareth. A young carpenter defies the guards to give him water. Looking into Jesus' compassionate eyes, Ben-Hur experiences profound peace, a brief encounter that plants a seed for his future transformation. For 3 years, Ben-Hur survives the hellish Roman galleys, chained to an oar in conditions that break most men within months. His endurance stems from two forces, vengeance against Masala and faith that his family might still live. His dignified bearing amid suffering catches the eye of Roman commander Quintus Arius. When their vessel is destroyed in battle, Ben-Hur saves Arius's life, despite having every reason to let his captor drown. This act of mercy moves Arius to adopt Ben-Hur as his son upon returning to Rome. Under Arius's patronage, Ben-Hur receives a Roman education, particularly in chariot racing. 5 years later, Ben-Hur returns to the East as a wealthy Roman citizen. In Antioch, he discovers his father's servant, Simonides, has secretly preserved the Hur family fortune despite being tortured twice by Roman authorities, sustained by devotion and hope for an heir's return. Fate reunites Ben-Hur with Masala at Antioch's famous chariot racing track. Recognizing an opportunity for both vengeance and justice, Ben-Hur agrees to race against Masala. The city buzzes with anticipation as race day approaches, with Jewish-Roman tensions reaching a fever pitch. The chariot race unfolds as a masterpiece of strategy and skill. For 6 laps, Ben-Hur patiently maintains position behind Masala, studying his techniques while preserving his horse's strength. In the final lap, when Masala believes victory is assured, Ben-Hur unleashes his team's full power. As they battle for position on the final turn, Ben-Hur executes a dangerous maneuver, allowing his lower chariot hub to catch Masala's wheel spokes. The Roman's chariot shatters spectacularly, leaving Masala trampled and crippled for life. Though he has achieved his revenge, Ben-Hur finds it brings little satisfaction. Masala, humiliated and financially ruined, reveals a devastating truth. Ben-Hur's mother and sister were imprisoned in a hidden cell all these years. Now, having contracted leprosy during their confinement, they have been released to die slowly in the Valley of the Lepers outside Jerusalem. Ben-Hur's grief transforms into an all-consuming mission for vengeance against Rome. He builds a network of resistance fighters, training them in combat techniques while gathering intelligence about Roman fortifications. He increasingly fixates on ancient prophecies about the Messiah, interpreting them through a lens of military liberation. He envisions himself as the sword of God, ready to serve as general to a divine warrior king who will sweep away Roman oppression. The appearance of John the Baptist along the Jordan River sends ripples through Jerusalem. When John identifies Jesus of Nazareth as the Son of God, Ben-Hur recognizes him as the compassionate stranger who offered him water years ago, a memory that stands in stark contrast to his vision of a conquering Messiah. As Jesus' ministry grows, Ben-Hur witnesses incredible miracles. When Amra, their faithful servant, learns that Jesus heals lepers, she secretly brings Ben-Hur's mother and sister to the road where Jesus will pass. With simple faith, the mother pleads, "You can make us clean." Jesus responds, "Woman, great is your faith. Be it as you wish." Instantly, their disease vanishes, their bodies restored after 8 years of suffering. This personal miracle deepens Ben-Hur's devotion to Jesus, though he still struggles to understand Christ's kingdom. When Jesus is arrested, Ben-Hur offers to summon his fighters, but Jesus' silent look makes clear this is not his path. The next day, as Jesus carries his cross toward Calvary, Ben-Hur discovers that many of his trained soldiers have joined the mob against Christ. At Golgotha, Ben-Hur watches in anguish as Jesus is crucified. With Jesus' final words, "It is finished," Ben-Hur finally understands that Christ's mission was never about earthly power, but spiritual redemption. 5 years later, we find Ben-Hur living a transformed life with his beloved Esther. They have fully embraced the Christian movement, converting their home into a gathering place for believers and using their wealth to support persecuted Christians. Their marriage exemplifies the peace that eluded Ben-Hur during his years of seeking vengeance. Ben-Hur's journey from privileged youth to vengeful warrior to humble disciple completes a profound transformation that mirrors the novel's central theme. True freedom comes not from defeating one's enemies, but from liberating oneself from hatred's chains. The genius of Ben-Hur lies in its juxtaposition of two competing visions of power. The Roman Empire represents worldly might, military conquest, political domination, and material wealth. In stark contrast, Jesus offers an alternative kingdom based on spiritual transformation, forgiveness, and self-sacrifice. Throughout the narrative, Ben-Hur stands at the crossroads between these kingdoms, embodying humanity's eternal struggle between vengeance and forgiveness. When he finally witnesses Christ's crucifixion, Ben-Hur confronts the ultimate paradox. True victory often comes through apparent defeat, and real power can manifest in willing powerlessness. Isn't this the struggle we all face? How do we respond when wronged? Do we seek the immediate satisfaction of revenge or the more difficult path of forgiveness? Ben-Hur's story reminds us that while empires rise and fall by the sword, the most profound revolutions happen in the human heart. The chariots of war may write history's headlines, but it's the quiet acts of forgiveness that truly change the world.